Tell us, one of the things that you are especially famous for is not only the number of kids that you always had in your music program. I mean, these very good-sized choirs and bands and orchestras. You got a lot of kids out and excited about music. But you're also pretty famous for how tough you were as a disciplinarian. You didn't put up with any kind of misbehavior. Just talk for a moment about sort of what your philosophy was in terms of discipline in the classroom.
I'd say the only time you open your mouth and hear is when you sing. That's it.
That's pretty clear. Did you find much resistance to that, or by and large, you know, did students know that you meant business?
Seventh graders were afraid of me. Eighth graders didn't care. Ninth graders liked me. But the ninth graders would always direct the seventh graders to the wrong place the first day of school. And the poor kids were scared to death.
Wouldn't know where to go, where to find.
They had heard about how mean I was.
Oh. Now, I'm curious, certainly when you talk to teachers nowadays, I think in many cases, what teachers generally regard as the hardest of all challenges is middle school or junior high.
I enjoyed that the most.
Right. Well, and I know other people, my sister-in-law among them, who have done incredibly well with middle school, that if you're the right person with the right fit, it works. And of course, probably middle schools in 1955 are not quite the same as middle schools nowadays, but still, it's a rough time for adolescents as they're just growing up. Yeah. So.
I got to tell you, the summer of 64, the school board offered a summer session for orchestra, and the conductor was killed in an auto accident. I guess after the first week.
Oh, dear.
So Dr. Lake asked me if I would take it. And I said, I won't get along with high school people because I'm so strict. He says, try it. I says, well, I'll try it, but I don't think it'll work. So the second day of rehearsing, Sam says, Mrs. Welch, I won't be here tomorrow. They practiced every day. I'm going to go golfing. I says, okay. You go golfing. When you come back, you're going to start in the back and work your way up. You're kidding. He says, no, that's the way I operate. So he didn't go golfing. He came to the orchestra. So then a few days later, I says, violins, this one passage, I want you to use it. The middle part of the bow with just a little bounce, not staccato. It actually should be with the wrist. But some of us cannot do that with the wrist, so let's all do it in the middle part. By the end of the summer, I'll teach you how. Some smart aleck said, show us. So I said, Sam, give me your violin. I showed him. I had no more problems. In fact, at the end of the 6 weeks, they said it was like having a violin lesson every day.
Wow, there you go. That's interesting what you said about how the high schoolers might not take as kindly to you because they weren't used to being so strictly disciplined as you did at the middle school level. And there's probably something to be said for giving middle schoolers a pretty strong, even rigid framework.
Oh, in one of these here, it says that I prepared him for high school band for Mr. Lanning because he was strict too. So he says, Mrs. Welch taught me all the sharps and flats and got me ready for Mr. Lanning.
for the next step. Yeah. I know that one of the things that you talk about is how you would really work hard to make sure that you had everybody that you needed in all of the sections of the orchestra and ready to roll to the next thing. So, I mean, like, you'd carefully recruit how many cellos you needed from various grades. Explain to our listeners how you did that.
Well, my string bass in seventh grade class, I would pick out some songs that were in a key of G or D, and the kids could pluck open strings for accompaniment. So I'd have the kids come up with and give them a string bass, and we'd sing the song from the textbook, and they would pluck open strings as an accompaniment. And I got them interested that way. See how much fun that is? So then I get two seventh graders that way. When I put them in the orchestra, the first couple of months, I had them play only open strings. And then eventually they were able to. And I did the same thing with violin, viola. Sometimes I've transferred a violin player to viola. And cello, I use the same way of getting them. And then, of course, I had feeding schools, so they would call and tell me how many the strings they have in fourth grade. I said, how many do you have in sixth grade? That's what I'm interested in right now.
Who's coming to me next year?
Yeah, but I had good feeders. Hmm. They don't have that anymore.
Right,
that.
Yeah, that's a challenge. Back then, nowadays, we certainly hear about how girls seem to more naturally flow into music and more quickly enjoy it and feel comfortable being musicians. That sometimes with boys can be a little bit of a challenge to get them comfortable making music, and you know, sometimes it conflicts with other things they might be doing, and you know, sometimes other boys will make fun of them for being in music. Did you find back then that you had equal success with both the girls and the boys with which you worked?
I had success with both. Oh, there's one cellist. I had a letter from him. You know, he was. He worked for the American Embassy in Czechoslovakia.
Oh, wow.
And now he's retired. He lives in Indiana, but he was one of my cellists. Orchestra is what I missed when I went to Starbucks. They decided to have instrumental teacher and a choral teacher. So then they took the orchestra away from me. And that's what I missed the most.
Because you yourself were a violinist. And
but I did have seventh grade strings, but then I didn't have the orchestra. So I had. And so every ninth grader always learned, 'twas the night before Christmas, they asked for it because they heard it when they were eighth graders.
Now, tell us about besides the conducting of bands and orchestras, that sort of thing, the fact that you also were teaching music classes where you were getting people, young people excited about music. What were some of the pieces of music that you would typically use to get students excited about music?
Well, in the eighth grade, I had units. I was teacher unit in jazz, the opera was a unit for seventh graders, magic flute. And we had it was in our textbook. But before that, I gave them a background of a history of how opera came into existence. It was a popular kind of entertainment. The wealth of a city was determined by the size of the opera house, but composers were commissioned to compose operas to celebrate some important event, like the Suez Canal. Verdi was commissioned to write Aida, you know.
Right.
Then originally there were no women in the operas. The men sang the other part. And then King Louis, I don't know, it was the 15th or 16th, introduced the ballet because it was boring to hear the four or five acts. So he put this ballet in between three and four. You had to tell the kids all of that.
Right.
Then they will listen, see.
Yeah. Well, and it's so interesting, and we laugh about this sometimes, that you could probably stand up and teach some of these lessons today.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, all of this stuff that you still remember from the days that you were teaching. I mean, yeah. The subject matter is still right here.
In Chicago, we had to see two operas. I saw Martha and Il Trovatore.
So
Chicago gave me a good background.
Yeah, that's one thing about a big city is there's a lot of wonderful things to do and see. That's absolutely for sure.
And then we had in a unit, and what was number one in the hit parade in various periods? Yankee Doodle was number one on the hit parade.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
I used that approach, so then they would learn to sing it.
You made mention of the fact, we've talked about it a little bit, that you do that. By the time your teaching career ended, You had more colleagues who were women doing what you'd done. Yeah. So, in a sense, you helped sort of blaze the trail, I suppose.
I remember when Vanasek, Cindy Vanasek came at an orchestra in Case. That was in the 70s, and her father-in-law said, well, now there's another lady in the instrumental department.
Ah.
But up to that point, I was the only one.
Right.
See, and it took two teachers to replace me at Washington, Mr. and Mrs. Bissell.
Speaking of the bands that you directed from time to time, did you have to deal with marching bands?
Oh, for that game, the football game. And I told my principal, I know nothing about marching bands and we're going to have to do it. He says, I know a lot of it. I'll help you.
Oh, so you got to do marching bands then anyway.
Just for those football games.
Oh.
That's it. That's only for that one game. So we took the kids over to Horlick Field and he helped me.
Mm.
And I did just as well as Ralph Houghton and Dan Bush.
You kept up with the rest of them.
But I got to tell you, that game was on a Wednesday night before a teacher's convention. And it was very cold. And first of all, Mr. Schulte said each of us would direct one number. And I said, well, I'm not going to climb that step ladder. I said, I'm afraid. I said, but you could direct my number. And then, no, if Henrietta doesn't want to direct her number, I'll direct everything. He wanted to direct everything anyway.
Oh!
But I didn't. So Ralph Houghton and Leon Foscher were upset with Henrietta because they didn't get up there to direct those numbers.
Right. Because you didn't want to climb the stairs.
I had heels.
Well, of course you did. You were facing all kinds of challenges, I suppose.
And you know what? We had our meetings at Mr. Geezy's home because Mr. Schulte couldn't control us.
Ah, a lively group.